Today is Thanksgiving, which means, of course, that it's Thursday, Letters Day, here at ATC. Many of you wrote to say thank you for Walter Cronkite's recollections of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. I was a college freshman, and hearing Walter Cronkite brought back vividly intense images, wrote Sue Ellen White of Langley, Washington. In those days of grief, confusion, and uncertainty that followed, Uncle Walter provided reassurance and information delivered with dignity and integrity. He still does, and I wept at the story. John Carlson of Oklahoma City said he was mesmerized by the broadcast and the archival recordings of discussions between officials at the White House and a plane carrying cabinet members across the Pacific Ocean. It was almost like having a time machine equipped with the ultimate police scanner, he said. Thank you for sharing this with public radio listeners. Keeping history, both old and in the making, alive is part of what makes NPR great. David Levon of Chicago, Illinois, was not thankful for our interview with John Fryer. Fryer sold all his possessions on the Internet, then visited the new owners of the items and wrote a book about the whole process. It must have been an awfully slow week to air an entire segment on someone who sells his junk on eBay, Mr. Levon wrote. It's bad enough that he should subject the world to a book about it, but you need to feed his self-indulgence even more by airing a 5-minute interview with him? Several listeners were also underwhelmed by Leif Inge's rendition of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. Mr. Inge stretched the original 1-hour-and-5-minute piece into a work that lasts 24 hours. Jeff Jones of Roland Park, Kansas writes, "Play this 24-hour ditty when the Iraq invasion begins. No need for cluster bombs, just pipe in this musical infusion. Better than nerve gas." The stretched Beethoven's Ninth wasn't without its supporters, though. Jerry Nevins, a professor of visual and performing art at Albertus Magnus College in New Haven, Connecticut, for instance, "Was it not for the fact that I was trapped in interminable traffic, I surely would have had an accident, having been carried away on the heartbreakingly beautiful sounds of the Ninth stretched." And the last word in our Thanksgiving letters goes to Betty O'Day of St. Louis, Missouri. She was amazed by our story about women planning to spend today glued to the television watching football. One woman talked about her baby eating dinner in front of the TV in violation of all baby rules, and how if you want a second piece of pie, you'll be eating it all by yourself while she watches her precious football. Good to hear, Ms. O'Day marvels, that women football fanatics are just as charming and thoughtful as their male counterparts.